Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, July 11th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this Shabbat, we read Parshat Matos Maaseh, and we are going to start with looking at the end of Parshat Matot, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 32, verse 1, in the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. And this Shabbos, we get to finish Sefer Bamidbar, and then we will move on to Sefer Devarim. You know what that means? Yontif's coming. For all the rabbis out there, start writing.
That's what Daddy just said.
Okay, it's not even Tisha B'Av, and we're getting worried about Rosh Hashanah. That's the way it goes. Okay, so.
And there's always Pesach.
So, we are going to start with this very famous request by the tribe of Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe not to cross over the Yarden and enter into Eretz Yisrael, but to rather stay on the other side of the, on the east side, if you will, of the Yarden, and not to inherit land in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And we are going to be studying the commentary today on this question of Rav Yitzchak ben Moshe Arama. I don't know if we've ever talked about him before. You've heard of him, Shula?
I have heard about the Rama.
Not the Rama. Arama.
Oh, Arama.
Arama. Arama. He was born in 1420 and died in 1494. He was Spanish. And he led a yeshiva, a rabbinical seminary in Zamora, I think in Spain. He also, he wrote a book called the Akedat Yitzchak. His name was Yitzchak, so it's Akedat Yitzchak, which is a commentary on the Torah, but in a philosophical style, focusing more on ideas than on specific words or grammar. It's a homiletical style. It's drashot on the parsha, and he also wrote a commentary on the Chamesh Megillot, and he also wrote about philosophy, and he wrote a commentary on Mishle, on Proverbs, so that's Yitzchak ben Moshe Arama, 1420 to 1494. Okay. Do you want to get a if you want a chumash?
You can get.
Pardon me?
1492.
Yeah, yes, he was. He went to Naples after he was thrown out of Spain. Yes. Good question. Okay. He died in 1494. All right, so here we go. Let's read the request. And we're going to focus on Moshe's response. Umikne Rav Hayalav Ne Ruvein Vavne God, Atsum Ma'od, page 910. Vayiru et Eretz Yazer, et Eretz Gilad, Vihine Hamakom Mikom Mikne. So Ruvein and God, they had a lot of livestock, and they saw where they were, and it was a place of great livestock. And they said to Moshe in verse 2, Pasuk Bet, Vayavo b'nei Gad uv'nei Ruvain, Vayomer el Moshe, V'yel Ozar Kohen, V'yel Nisei Hedal Emor, Atarot v'divon v'yezor v'nimra, V'cheshbon v'el Ale, U'shvan u'nevo u'von, Ha'aretz asher hika Hashem lefnei adat Yisrael, Eretz miknehi v'la avadecha mikneh. So this is a land which is good. All these places which you just listed, which were captured, is a land for livestock, and we happen to have a lot of livestock. So they say, "Vayomru im matzanu chen beinecha yutan et haaretz hazot laavadecha laachuza al ta'avirenu et hayarden." If we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as a heritage. Do not bring us across the Yarden. Okay, we want to stay here on this side of the Yarden. Okay, that's their request. So let's
So on the east side.
On the east side, correct, yes. Let's talk about their request. What do you make of their request?
Strange, because it's not Eretz Israel. Why would they
Okay. It's not Eretz Israel, but the goal was to cross the Yarden, right? Okay, good question, Shula. Although they do explain why. They have other considerations, which is their mikneh. Okay, right. Anyone else?
They saw fertile land and they saw a place where they can raise their cattle and they figured this is better than going to the unknown.
Okay, right. This is, I guess, they were scared to go to a place which they didn't see. They're going to have to fight other nations to get there. Could be, yes. Mikneh's cattle. No, they went a circuitous route. We know that they didn't go the most direct way, right when they left Mitzrayim. We're told they didn't go the most direct way because for different commentaries suggest different reasons, but we know they didn't go the most direct way. And then also they were caused to wander in the Midbar for 40 years after the Chet HaMeraglim, after the sin of the spies, so that generation would die. So you are right. Had they gone straight from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, they may have had a different entry point, but because of these other factors, that's a good point, they were entering from a spot which may not have been the first choice. Okay, good. Okay, so let's look at Moshe's response. In Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayomer Moshe Livnei Gad Livnei Reuven, Ha'achechem Yavo L'milchama V'atem Teshuvu Po. If you were reading that verse, I read it very bland, how would you punctuate that verse?
If you stay here and your brother's going to go on and go to a war.
Is it a question mark?
Yeah.
It's a question mark followed by
An exclamation mark.
Right? What are you? What? Who do you think you are? Right? Vayomru imatzanu. Vayomru Moshe levnei gav levnei reuven ha'achechem yavolim l'chama v'atem teshu po. Right? Your brothers are going to go fight a war because there's going to be a war to get into Eretz Israel, and you're going to stay here. V'lama tinun et leib bnei Israel me'avor et ha'aretz asher natan lahem Hashem. And furthermore, if people hear that you don't want to go, they're not going to want to go. They're not going to want to fight, right? You're going to dissuade them. People are going to be, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should also just stay here and live happily ever after. Why should we fight the people who are living in Eretz Canaan now? And not only that, he piles on. He says, Ko asu avotechem b'shalchiyotam mikadesh barnea lirota ta'aretz. This is not the first time you tried this trick. I sent the Miraglim, remember? This is why we're 40 years later now, and why maybe we're in a different location. I sent the Miraglim to check out Eretz Yisrael, and they came back and gave a bad report that we're not going to go, we can't go, what happened? Mass panic. Let's go back to Egypt. Right? I can't have this again, says Moshe. Right? This is exactly what he says. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. They went up to the valley of Eshkol and saw the land that they dissuaded the heart of the children of Israel not to come to the land that Hashem had given them. And God was angry on that day. And he said, okay, you don't want to go? None of you are going to go. Anyone 20 years and over? You're going to spend the rest of your life wandering the desert and you're going to die. So Moshe is panicking. He's like, oh my God, another 40 years. Like Moshe's staring another 40 years of wandering in the desert in the face. He's saying, if I let this get out of hand, it's possible that we're literally on the border, like I could take one step over and I'm in Israel, but if I don't handle this properly and we have the same mass panic as we did last time, it's possible that God's going to say, now this generation is not going to get into Israel and we're going to have to go for another 40 years. Or worse, who knows? That's Moshe's response. Okay? Well, Moshe was human.
I know.
Okay, so Moshe is on the verge of breakdown here. He knows he's not getting into Eretz Yisrael already, by the way. But he's still looking at the possibility that his people are going to blow it, right? Just when they're about to reach, this is the pinnacle of their, right? This is how it all started. What did God tell Abraham? Lech lecha, this is the land I'm going to give to, and it took a long, long time. It should have been over 40 years ago. Right there, and so Moshe is staring the possibility of another generation of failure in the face. So that is, I think, a legitimate way to read these psukim. However, the Akedat Yitzchak says, hold on, let's just stop for a minute and really analyze if Moshe's reaction here is appropriate. Okay? Let's look at Moshe's reaction. Let's analyze it. I'll read you the Akedat Yitzchak, which you do not have in front of you, from the commentary, that the drasha that he wrote on this parsha. It says, Yesh l'orer safek atzum al divarav shel Moshe Rabbeinu imahem. Says Rav Yitzchak Arama, I have to raise a gigantic doubt, question, about Moshe's response to them. So let's stop. What could Yitzchak Arama, what could the Akedat Yitzchak possibly think was wrong with Moshe's response?
He connects Akedat Yitzchak with this event?
No. The Akedat Yitzchak is the name of the author, Yitzchak Arama. Okay. He wrote a book called that. So what did Yitzchak Arama raises a question? He walked in just after that. Yitzchak Aramaf, he was born in 1420, died in 1494. He wrote a Perush on the Torah, Drashot, really. And he says, Yesh lo er safek atzum al divarav shel Moshe Rabbeinu imahem.
Why is angry?
Well, a question about his reaction. Yeah, a question about his reaction.
Maybe his reaction is overwhelming.
Maybe he didn't want to, if they wouldn't get into Eretz Yisrael, maybe he'd have to be a boss again for another 40 years. Maybe he didn't want to.
No, so the question is, but okay, so the way we read it.
He's tired.
The way we read it, we understand Moshe's reaction. But Yitzchak Arama says, I don't get it. I have a gigantic question, a problem, an objection to the way Moshe reacted. What do you think his objection is? Yes.
Okay, so in Pasuk Vav, ויאמר משה לבני גד ולבני ראובן, האחיכם יבואו למלחמה ואתם תשבו פה. So he said, you're going to sit here and your brothers will fight and you are like sitting on your grass. And
right.
So who said that they are not going to be part of it?
Baruch Shekivant. Perfect.
Who said that
you
they are
not going... You are channeling your inner Yitzchak Arama.
No, they might sit there. But when their brothers are fighting, they are going to join the fight.
Yitzchak Arama basically says, why does Moshe start by yelling at them? He should ask them. You want to stay on this side of the on the east side of the Jordan? Okay. What are you going to do about the war? Are you going to come with us? What's your plan? Right? What does Moshe do? He jumps into an accusation.
He's judging them.
Right away he jumps into it. They ask a question. And he immediately accuses them. That's what Yitzchak Arama says. Excellent, Chana. V'hu... V'gam yeshlach kochav on the chart, and you'll get an extra candy later. V'hu ki haya meharo'oi sheyish'al lahem b'tchila. Chana, you hear? He should have asked them at the beginning. Im haya ritzonam la'avor imahem l'milchama olav. Im lav. Okay, you want to stay here? Fine. Are you going to come fight with us? V'im yomru lo masha amruhu ba'achrona lama yichar pam al pneihem be'emor lahem kol otan kintorin v'charufin. What do they say to Moshe after he yells at them? Let's look. They say as follows. They say to him, at verse number 16, Vayikshu elav vayomru, gedrot so nivne lemikne po varim latapenu va anachnu nechaletz chushim lifne bnei Yisrael arasher im hevi onum el mekomam viyashav tapenu barei amivtzar mivnei Yisrael aretz. Of course we're going to come with you. We're going to build a place here for our animals and houses for our family. We'll come fight, and we will not come back. We will not come back to the east side of the river until the war is over.
Even the next pasuk is more.
Lo nashuv el batenu, right? Ad hitnachel b'nei Yisrael ish nachalato. So had Moshe simply said, what's your plan? They would have said, oh, here's our plan. We're going to build places for our sheep, houses for our wife and kids, and we're going to come fight. But instead, Moshe launches into a 10-pasuk sermon, Musar Shmuz, right, about how terrible they are and about how they're about to create another terrible disaster. This is exactly what he says. V'im yomru, right? So, and had he simply waited, they would have, had he asked, they would have said to him earlier on what they said to him in Pasuk Ted Zayin, in Pasuk 16, and there would have been any time for all the kintorin v'charufin, all of Moshe's accusations. V'lo nitkarara dato ad sheshalach yad l'shono ba'avotehem v'amar v'hine kamtem tachat avotehem tarbut anashim chataim l'sifot od al charon afa. And you're doubling upon the sin that your ancestors did with the miraglim, with the spies. Uchimidume shebehashivan davar lemor gidrot so nivne v'anach nechaletz shitnachem ma'od al ma shehitris kenegdam lo pisham v'lo chataam umutav shelo yasekein ki lo adam hu lahanichem. And then at what happens at the end? Moshe seems to back off. Okay, he says in 20. Vayomer alehem Moshe im tasuna tadavar hazeh. Why didn't you say so in the first place? Why didn't you say so in the first place? Because you were yelling at me.
He didn't give me a chance.
Right? If you're going to do that, then yes, fine, you could stay here. So when you first read the pasuk, the psukim, Moshe's reaction makes perfect sense. But when you think about it from another perspective, Moshe jumped the gun. It seems like Reuven and God had every intention of fighting with Bnei Yisrael and not abandoning them. Why would Moshe jump the gun?
Well, I think he was, I don't know if the word is angry. Here are these people who are giving the opportunity to go over, and he's not.
They were not going. Interesting.
And so we got angry at him. You know, how come you're not?
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
And I think
that's
like
fascinating.
A human reaction because he really wanted to go so much.
Excellent.
They're just throwing it away.
Right. So Moshe's he's like, you know what I would give to get into Eretz Yisrael?
Right.
And so his personal situation makes it impossible for him to judge this objectively. I'm just going to move this because the shul just paid a lot of money for this new computer, and I don't want to. We have enough problems. You could put it here. Okay, so Moshe is taking this. He's looking at it from he because of his own personal situation. He's unable to objectively analyze their request, and he just immediately flies into a rage about their request. That's an excellent answer.
But is he angry at them? I don't think he's angry at them.
The situation.
I think about it. It's not anger. Maybe
frustration.
The same thing that
frustration.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, whether it's anger or frustration, what he doesn't do is he doesn't say to them, unexpected. That's not what I would do. What about the war? He immediately, accuses them of abandoning their brethren, one. Two, he says that he says, you abandon your brethren. And then he also says to them, you are doing a miraglim part two. It was like a sequel of the miraglim, which I cannot have. Okay? And he says, you're also going to scare the rest of the Jewish people from not wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael?
I'm not so sure that they really intended to
do the job. What's the proof?
What, first of all, he knows the history of the Am, that the Miktanei Emunah.
Ah, okay. We are on the ball today.
If you really wanted, you start with that. We will go there.
Oh, very nice.
I don't think.
Oh, okay. So Baruch Shekivant, number two. Everyone seems to be, maybe the Yitzhak Arama is very intuitive for us today. I think Shula makes a great point. Maybe the reason why Moshe jumps into a rage is because they start off by saying, we're staying here. Maybe they should have said, we are going to come fight.
But then.
And after the fight, we want to live on this side. And while the men are fighting, our women and our cattle are going to stay on this side. Had they started that way, Moshe would have said, interesting. Okay, why not? But by virtue of the fact that they start off by saying, we want to stay here, maybe they're signaling to Moshe, and we're done. We're not fighting. We're staying. Right? So Yitzhak Arama, even though he's the one, really, he sets up a straw man. He says, at first, it sounds like Moshe's overreacting, but now he comes back and explains a little differently than Shula, but I think your answer is excellent. Excellent. He explains why he doesn't think Moshe was overreacting. He thinks exactly what you thought, Shula, that they originally had no intention, and only after Moshe read them the Riot Act did they realize, ooh, this is not going to work. We better backtrack, right? And then they start lawyering up. And trying to make it better. Let's read
after his speech.
Okay, so let's read the Akedat Yitzchak's explanation of Moshe's seeming overreaction. Amnam hanireh bazeh hu ki hine Moshe Adoneinu alav shalom beotzem chachmato. Just like you said, he knows these people. Amad al imut kavanatam. V'libo lev chacham asher l'imino v'yere chetzim shinunim al kol asher yebelibam. He understood them. He says this.
Yara chitzim,
which means?
Shoot. Right. Like
straight.
Okay.
U'mehanir'eh shekasher chashav lahem kein haya belibam. Ki mitchila. Lo hayada tam la'avor imahem milchama. The original intention was not
Shulamit
to go fight.
Shulamit,
and what's the textual proof? What's the textual proof? V'zema shamru al ta'avirenu et hayarden.
Yeah.
Right away.
They say,
where is that? Pasuk hey, vayomru imatsanu chein beinecha yutan et haaretz hazot lavadecha lachuza al ta'avirenu et hayarden. If we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as a heritage. Do not bring us across the Yarden. And he has more. The ode, ki lo ne'emar. Vayomru elav b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain gidrot son ella. It doesn't say that they said we have a lot of son. What does it say? It says vayigshu elav at the end, verse number 16. Vayigshu. What does that mean? Vayigshu. After Moshe speaks. After Moshe gives them the whole schmooze and says, what are you doing? You're gonna corrupt the people. This is Meraglim number two. What about the war? Then the Torah says, Vayigshu.
Yeah, that means down and that consultation.
Ah, what does Vayigshu mean?
They approached.
Approach, but why does it have to say they were approached? They were right there. We're having a conversation. Chana's Moshe. I'm Shevet Ruvain. I say to Moshe, hey, I don't want to go.
No.
Moshe said, da, 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 da.
And then they say, wait a minute.
So but it is interesting, right? The fact that it says Vayikshu means that at one point, this first, there were two meetings. There were two meetings, is what the Akedat Yitzhak is saying, right? They came, they said to Moshe, we don't want to go. Moshe yells at them, and then they leave. And then Vayikshu. The fact that it says Vayikshu means they came back, meaning exactly, they left. They had to go and figure out what to do next. Exactly. They had two meetings here. It says, Vayikshu elav ayomru. Dimashma sheshamu divarav. They heard Moshe's complaints. Vinityatsu alehem. Then they went and they
consulted.
Viacharkach chazru elav im hatshuva hahi. Then they came back with their answer. Vavshen amar shelo yatsu milufanav ad sheshivu oto davar yoreh halashon al chidush hamachshava b'lisafek. Vayikshu proves that there was a break in their thinking, meaning their first thought was, we're not coming. Then Moshe yells at them. Then there's a break. There's a stop in the story. And they reconsider. And meaning the point is, had that Vayikshu not been there, had right away they said, oh, of course we're fighting, then maybe Yitzhak Arama wouldn't have said this. But the fact that it says Vayikshu means that they were not ready right away. It wasn't in their mind right away to say we're fighting. They had to actually go home and say, what can we possibly say to Moshe that's going to make this better? Oh, well, we must tell him that we're going to fight. Oh, Vayikshu. Then they walk back, and the Torah records that, Vayikshu. Right? So the fact that it says, first of all, so his textual analysis are two things. One, Al tavirenu et hayarden. Don't take us over the Yarden. That's the first thing that they say. We do not want to go across. That leads Moshe to think, this is a problem. And so Moshe yells at them. And then the proof in the text is Vayikshu. The fact that the Torah has to tell us that they returned or that they approached, where at first glance it sounds like this is one big meeting, it's telling us actually it wasn't one big meeting. It was two meetings. It was a failed meeting.
And they came back.
Right? Where the tribes are trying to get out of their responsibility. And that fails. Moshe says, no way. And then they come back and say, all right, let's make a deal. And I add to that what Shula said, which is they started off with the request that we don't want to go, instead of saying at the outset, we realize that this may come across as being improper. So we'll start by saying we have every intention of fighting the war. And we want to stay on the east side. But the fact that they start with they want to stay on the east side and they don't even talk about the war. Everyone knows the war coming. They don't even talk about it. It sets Moshe off. Yes, Shula.
Okay, they felt so guilty that they wanted their body that they said, oh, not only that we'll go, but we'll go with the Mahel.
Right. So it's interesting. So it's not only are they now saying we're willing to fight, they say we're willing to come first. By the way, not only Chushim, what's right after Chushim? Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, we'll be first. We're going to be the first soldiers in line, meaning they really realize they blew it. And they realize that the only way that they are going to save this request is if they offer and if they say we're going to come first. We're going to be the first ones, the first wave of attack we're going to do, which is presumably the most dangerous, right? Adasher, right. And so what Yitzhak Arama does is by raising the question at Moshe's seeming improper reaction to their response, he gives us the opportunity to look closely at the text again and to realize, not so fast. Maybe Moshe was right. Maybe he knew these people well. He had insight into how they were operating. He listened very carefully to what they said. And according to Shula, the order in which they said it. And then the Torah tells us, and this is the sort of icing on the cake or the cherry on top for Yitzhak Arama, is that the Torah tells us, Vayikshu, that there was they approached him. The fact they approached him indicates that they had to have stepped away, and they stepped away in order to figure out a plan that's going to appease Moshe.
In Hebrew, there is a phrase that's from the Torah, Yadasho koneu
v'chamor
evus be'ala.
That's right.
Nachon?
Yes.
As Moshe knew,
Moshe knew.
Shulamit was so right.
Excellent.
Moshe knew what, with whom he is dealing. So.
Right. Okay. Yasher koach, everyone. Thank you.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Very good, Rob.